I don't know. I don't. It doesn't have like a link for his name there. It just mentions him. I can go back if you want.
No, keep going.
Do you want me to go back?
No.
I'm going back now. I'm going back. Going back in time. I'm going back to read about Pinocchio and
Spider-Man. What are you doing? What are you doing? No, we've lost everybody. Buddy, it is episode 294 of Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
Yeah, you can start doing the show now.
Okay,
so
great.
Anytime you want to start.
Hi, everybody. It is episode 294 of Sneaky Dragon. I'm Ian Boothby.
And I'm David Dedrick.
All right, there we go.
294.
Yeah.
Let's just point that out.
We are 6 episodes away from doing our 300th. Yes. We will.
More importantly, we're 3 episodes away from doing 297.
That's the kind of nonsense we've been doing for all these episodes. And you're still with us for some reason. Good for you. We're going to be having a special show, live show. Where is it going to be? We'll tell you maybe next week. There, we'll tell you next week.
Is that right? You're going to
we'll spill some beans.
Okay.
We'll confirm everything.
You're right. It's still...
What's what. We know who's who. What's going on. We'll let you know. And it'll be somewhere, let me say this, it'll be somewhere near Hellcody Studios.
Ooh.
So I'll tell you that much.
Okay.
So
is it going to be at the Ballet Academy across the street?
You mean where they did Step Up, the latest Step Up
movie?
That's
right. Step Up Part 5.
Yeah.
Step Upper.
No, none of that. We'll let you know what's going on with that. And if you want to come down and see the show live, great. Are we still doing that thing where we're going to eat with you? Yeah, we will. I know. Sorry, it's been a big delay, but we're going to do that. We'll eat with you. We'll also do that. What is that you're asking? Well, we'll tell you. If you write us and go, hey, Ian and Dave, I want to eat with you, we'll take you to White Spot. We'll give you a meal. Who? I don't know. We're going to draw a name. We'll figure it out. Don't worry about it. Just give us your name. We don't need any other information. We're good. We'll just figure it out. It's a terrible idea for a contest. We didn't think it through, but we're going to do it. What's in it for us? I don't know, but you're going to get a hamburger or something out of it. So, you know.
Yeah.
There. It's all fine.
Quit complaining.
Quit complaining. Quit your belly aching.
Yeah.
And you can belly ache afterwards after you've had too much to eat.
It's like there's kids in the car in the back seat, and they're asking, when do we get there?
Ah. Now, you're a father of two.
I am a father of two.
Master of none.
That was a question that was not allowed in the car.
Whether you were their dad?
No. When will we get there?
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was wondering if were you ever the well going to turn this car around, Dad?
No.
Okay.
Because I can't actually turn the car around.
Oh, you don't have the ability to turn?
Very limited driving skills.
Dave can only drive in straight lines.
Straight lines. But I can parallel park. Right. Once again, it's a series of parallel lines. Oops. Sorry, everybody.
So if Dave accidentally starts in the wrong direction, he has to go all the way across Canada.
Yes, that's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Luckily,
okay, we're at Prince Edward Island. And like, how'd you cross that thing, Dad? Oh, we just did. Is there a bridge to Prince Edward Island yet?
Yes.
Oh, you're fine then. Yeah, that's how you got to Prince Edward Island.
The Confederation Bridge.
Oh, it's called Confederation Bridge.
Yeah, it's been there for about 20 years.
Good for them. So they finally finished it.
You are up to date.
Lovely.
You're up on all the news.
And again, happy Canada's birthday to you.
Oh, thank you.
I am not here this week.
No,
I'm. We were pre-recording this show, so if you're going, hey, why are you guys not talking about that thing with the bear attack? Because we don't know about it.
Yeah, we don't know about
it. Where all the bears came across the border and just started attacking because of global warming.
Mm-hmm.
And false, and it was the anti-hibernation.
That's
where the bears get too hot and they get all riled up and can't sleep.
That's right.
And so they just start attacking people.
Yeah.
We don't know about that because that hasn't happened yet. What's going on?
Make America bear again.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of like that.
It's a right to bear arms.
Oh, we should have gone with that one first.
I'll edit it.
Will you, though? Will you? Will you, Rand McNally? Will you edit it?
I will not edit it.
I'm in San Diego at San Diego Comic Con.
And how are you enjoying it?
So many people here. I'm so
hot. It's so hot. Is it really hot when you're
there? I gotta
Isn't there air conditioning in the convention center?
Yeah, but there's also so many people.
It just overwhelms the whole thing.
Yeah, and you try to stand still for a couple of seconds. So like, keep moving.
Yeah.
Keep it moving. Don't be standing still. Don't lean against anything. Keep walking. So, by the way, if you're there at San Diego, say hi. I'm still there. If you're listening to this on Saturday.
You're still there.
Yeah, I'm still there. I'm wandering about.
Mm.
Oh, by the way, if you see anyone who's like in a full body suit of something, they are a celebrity in disguise.
Oh.
So all you do is you walk up to everyone you see in full body suit and go, I know who you are. I hope you're having a good time.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But
and that way you've just said hi to Nathan Fillion or Sigourney Weaver.
Oh.
Yep.
Wow.
Or Seth Green if he's short.
Does he really need to be in disguise?
Seth Green. Oh, geez. Burn. Maybe he's at the it's the Human Torch because he just got burned.
Not called
Dave Byrne.
It's not called a burn. It's called a truth bomb.
Ooh, okay.
You can't take it.
Can't talk about bombs going across the border.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Got to play it cool. Mm. I don't know whether or not I'm going to do that thing where you you straighten out your Twitter and Facebook page before you go.
How do you mean straighten it out?
Basically, put up some nice pictures that will then push all the other junk that I normally talk about way low.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's not a bunch of pictures of Trump on the toilet while I'm going across.
Do you think that would
I don't know anymore. Who knows? Who knows? Look, already the TSA is weird. Mm. The TSA is all grabby, groiny.
Yeah.
That's already the thing, right? And then the border guards have always been rough. So I don't know. I got no idea. We got stopped, and we were just a couple of young dopes.
Clean cut.
And that's when things were still okay.
You had long hair then. That was your problem.
That's true.
You wrecked
it. Were trying to smuggle horses in your car, dressed as your daughters in the back seat with a couple of wigs. They're like, hey, you're my daughters, right? Nay. Hey, they said nay. Let them out of the car. Damn, all right.
They always say nay. Oh. Nay. They're Shakespearean actors. That's why they said nay.
So by this point next year,
yes,
you will be a professional in the comics industry.
Yeah,
you will. Okay. We will have had our book out, which we'll be able to talk about shortly.
Yes.
Dave is coloring a book that I wrote and that our many time guest Nina Matsumoto has drawn. That's coming out from Graphics, division of Scholastic, and that'll be out next spring. So by that point, you'll be a professional colorist. Because you will have been paid for coloring a book.
That's true.
Yep. It'll be in stores.
And, that'll be great. It will be great.
You'll be able to go to Comic Cons for free.
I don't think that'll work that way, but...
Why?
I don't know. It just doesn't sound... sounds like there's a catch.
You're a professional.
Mm.
Okay, listen. You already got a podcast where you put up nerdy title cards and talk to comic book people.
Yeah.
And talk to a comic book person who's me every week.
Yeah.
So you could already probably get in. But now that you're a colorist for Scholastic, you're fine.
I'm
so
a shoe-in.
Yeah.
Mm, okay.
Would you do a drive down and just run in and go, hey, how you doing? And then run out? Would you do that? Just
like where?
Run
to, what would I do that for?
You'd like drive down to San Diego and you just like run into the con and go, hey, how are you doing? And then run out.
Would I do that?
I don't know. I don't know if you can get a hotel. It's hard.
Yeah, yeah.
But like you just...
If I book one now, I could probably go in 2 years, right?
I don't know if that works that way.
Oh.
I think they just know that people are coming anyway, so they don't book during that period of time at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's no one stays in any of the hotels there.
Do you know what you could do? Is you could probably do like an Airbnb or some weirdo business.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. But as a professional, you just run in and be able to go, look at all these nerds! Yeah. And then you run out.
Air, bed, and bugs.
Mm-hmm. You could go, you know what I think you might enjoy doing?
Mm.
Jumping into the giant Scrooge money bin. They had one of those there the other year. It was really nice.
Looks painful.
No, it was actually, they're all soft and foamy.
Oh, okay. It's not
full of gold
coins.
And then
when
you come out, you can like wear his hat. It's fun.
Yeah, sounds good.
You might enjoy it.
Would they have that every year?
I don't. Well, you know what? I bet this year they would because they're pushing the DuckTales.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, Nina drew the package art for that, for the game, right?
For the Disney, it was the Disney Afternoon Collection. So it was the remastering, I believe, of DuckTales. I believe it was the remastering one. Chippendale's Rescue Rangers, mm-hmm. Darkwing Duck, mm-hmm. and Caligula. They had to have a fourth, and they went, you know what? We can probably get the rights to Caligula.
Yeah.
And they went with Caligula.
That's nice. Why not? He has a horse. He left his horse.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. It's the Disney version. Caligula. He's Caligula, but he's a seagull, so he's Caligula.
What is the fourth one? You don't remember, do you?
Okay, let's go. Chip and Dale, Rescue Rangers.
You said DuckTales, right?
DuckTales.
Yeah.
Darkwing Duck.
Yeah. Goof Troop?
No.
No, it's Tailspin.
Tailspin, there you are.
Yeah. How did I get that and you didn't?
Mm.
I'm not a nerd.
Nah.
I'm a cool. I've established that I'm cool.
Wait a second. Are you calling Nina a nerd? Because she is cooler than all of us put together.
She is cool. You're right.
Yeah, she's cool. She's a bit too cool for.
I know.
For comics.
What is she doing?
I don't know. I think once she realizes how cool she is, she's just gonna quit and quit hard.
Mm.
Yeah, just storm off.
I think that's why she's phasing out and into like something slightly more respectable, like video games.
Mm.
Leave us suckers behind.
Yeah, video games are very, very respectable.
Yep. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
That Tomb Raider lady, she's really classed her act up.
Has she? She's wearing a tuxedo now?
she does dress up fancy sometimes when there's the need to. But, you know, she's really got her act together. She's way more well pixelated than she used to be.
Nice.
Used to be body parts of hers that would just take your eye clean out. And now she's well-defined. And, you know, she does die horrific deaths still.
Glad
it's
to hear that.
Disturbing.
Speaking of heroines, have you seen or heard of this movie called Atomic Blonde?
I've seen trailers for it.
You've seen trailers for it?
Yes. Charlize Theron.
I haven't seen trailer. I saw an advertisement
Star
for
of
it.
Monster and Arrested Development.
And Mad Max Fury Road.
And Curse of the Fate Jade Scorpion. Of the Furious.
Curse of the Jade Scorpion. Don't forget that one. It's her best role. You had a little smile there as if you didn't believe it, but it's true.
What is she in Jade Scorpion?
She's the femme fatale.
Is she now?
Yes.
Oh, I did not care for that movie at all.
That's where you're wrong.
No, I'm not, because I said I didn't care for it, not that the movie was bad.
No, no.
So you're saying I did care for it, and I'm just misremembering.
You misunderstood how much you enjoyed that film.
I see.
You enjoyed it immensely, and then you forgot how much you enjoyed it.
What was my favorite part of that film?
Charlize Theron.
Ah, that doesn't make sense. She's very good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so what about
this movie? You thought it was kind of weak having Woody Allen as the protagonist because he's too old to play that role now. But other than that, the film was very good. And if he would allow his characters to age, which he's sort of done more recently, his films his 90s films would have been a little better.
Mm-hmm.
I still think they're good. I will admit that the weakness of the films is the fact that he, and I understand it wasn't
He's got about a 1 in 4 average now. But still, the 1 in 4 is pretty damn good.
It wasn't that he wanted to do that. It was he was forced to do it by the production company that felt like his movies would not be successful without him as the star of them.
Okay.
And so they would kind of push him into roles that weren't suitable, that he probably should have had John Cusack or someone playing that role.
All right.
Whoever can do a really good impersonation of Woody Allen. Because isn't it true that whenever people do a Woody Allen film, they basically sound like Woody Allen?
To its detriment at times. The Kenneth Branagh, whatever that Hollywood
I like
ending.
Celebrity.
Celebrity, that was
I like. I think that's a very good movie.
No, you didn't. You didn't like it.
I liked it very much.
No,
I think you're misremembering. I think you're misremembering now. Let me just say, that was the first time I saw Famke Janssen in a film.
Mm-hmm.
And that pretty much is the greatest part of that movie.
She's good in
She wears glasses.
She's good in
And she's
Maid,
an editor.
The movie M-A-D-E, Maid. You know what I'm thinking?
But I saw a Celebrity before I saw Maid.
Here's what I'm thinking. I think you and I might be from parallel dimensions. I think you're from a dimension where certain things were good that were not good in my dimension.
Next thing you're going to tell me that Hollywood ending was bad.
Let me ask you this. Who is president of the United States that you know of, like now?
Right now?
Who
is the president of the United States as we speak right here?
Yeah.
Emmanuel Lewis. Better known as Webster.
Okay, well, in my world, it's Gary Coleman.
Oh.
I'm glad they're both still alive. I have no idea if Emmanuel Lewis has passed away or not.
You just killed him.
I feel awful about that. Gary Coleman had an animated series that's never been made into a video game.
But
it was based on a movie of his where he was, I think it was like The Heavenly Kid, where it's a funny story. He was a kid who died, became an angel, and helped someone else.
Okay. Well, if you're going to die.
Yep.
That's sort of one of your best possible outcomes.
I don't know if he died, actually. He may just be an angel, like always was an angel type situation,
so,
looking to upgrade his halo or something.
Okay.
And then they had an animated series where it was the same deal, where kids got into trouble and he came down and tried to help them out and sassed a bit.
It's sort of interesting that humans we so like hierarchy that we couldn't just have like God and then us. We had to like put a whole hierarchical like system between us and God.
You can tell, by the way, this is the second show we've done in one day because we're slurring our words.
We drank all that.
Look, I'm just saying, Dave had two kinds of ice cream for dinner. Two.
Yep.
Can you guess what flavors? Don't guess, Dave. Okay. Can you guess what flavors Dave had?
I could guess.
One is pretty obvious.
Which one is that?
Vanilla. Let's be honest. Okay, you knew one of them was vanilla. But what's the other flavor?
Why would you know that?
Come on. Listen to the show.
You think I'm vanilla
and the second one, what would it be? I know, it's a bit badass.
Yeah.
Yeah, strawberry. You're right. Okay, so anyway, that's why Dave's slurring his words a little tiny bit.
They go together very nicely, by the way.
Vanilla and strawberry?
I will not hear bad things against either flavor.
It's the basis of a Neapolitan.
I like them both. I don't really like the chocolate in a Neapolitan ice cream. I try to scoop around it if I'm scooping for myself.
What parallel dimension do
other
you
people,
live in?
Other people
where,
get all
where the chocolate Neapolitan is the weak.
I don't like chocolate ice cream.
In the dimension I come from, the strawberry is the weak element of Neapolitan.
Yeah, I know you don't like strawberry.
Because they put like weird gummy
you'll be happy to
nonsense
know this.
In this.
You'll be happy to know this. There was no weird gummy nonsense in the strawberry
Well, good for
ice cream
them.
I ate today.
Smart. Okay, back to Atomic Blonde. Were you looking forward to it or what? What's up?
Well, I don't know anything about it. I just saw
a
commercial for it.
Spinny, spinny, shoot, shoot, punch, punch.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
She's really good at the punch, punch, shoot, shoot, bang, 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 bang.
It's so hard to tell.
Yep.
For a movie
nowadays.
Is
she a robot?
Like, it could be.
Is she from the future?
Yeah. It could be as bad as Hitman 47.
No, it couldn't.
Could be.
No.
Or it could be as great as Mad Max Fury Road.
No.
Both movies she's in.
No. No.
What?
No. Neither is possible. Okay, I'm trying to guess what I think it is. I think she's trained by the government.
Yeah.
I think they want to burn her. She's had her use.
Maybe
she killed the wrong person, okay. But the government wanted her to kill the wrong person, but they got to put the blame on her.
Okay.
Now they're sending agents after her to wipe her out.
Okay.
She's not having it. She's got to clear her own name, and she's got to prove that this government agent who sent her on this thing actually did it. And there's one agent who suspects she's on the up and up, and they might fall in love. That's what I think is probably going to happen.
Oh.
That or she's a robot. I'm saying it Futurama style. Robot.
Robot?
Yep.
Okay. Is that Futurama style, or is it like an imitation of some other part of the United States where they say robot rather than it's robot?
It is an imitation of a Jewish man saying the word robot.
Oh.
Yeah, it's the robot. Look at the robot there.
Okay.
Yeah, nice robot. Taking over. Oh, robot.
So when you're writing your Futurama scripts, do you write them?
Do I have those voices in my head? Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Of course. Of course I do.
Why is that bad, though?
Because you've got a bunch of voices in your head. You can't turn that radio off.
Yeah, yeah. Does it make it easier to write if you can hear the voices?
It's the only way to write. How else can you write voices if you can't hear them in your head? Like when you're writing...
We're just transcribing a conversation.
When you're writing an original character.
Yeah.
In, say, a novel or some such. Mm-hmm. Don't you hear the voices in your head of that character? Do you know what their voice sounds like?
I think, yeah, that's true. And if you don't, it's a bad character. Because you haven't got a grasp on who that person is. You're right.
And there we go.
You're right. In my long sitting in a drawer mystery novel, its weakness.
Oh, by the way, who did it?
I don't know. I have not figured that out yet.
Okay.
The weakness.
Dave,
yep.
They all did it.
So far, you think it's going to be like a Murder on the Orient Express sort of a ending?
Oh, thanks for the spoilers on Murder on the Orient Express.
Yes, the 50-year-old book.
Do you know what?
Yeah.
Here's the twist.
Yeah.
To the new Murder on the Orient Express.
Okay.
At the very end, you find out it's actually the European Express.
Is that
they
right?
They all got on the wrong train.
That's how they confound the guy.
That's the twist.
That is the twist. Wow. That's
yeah, someone actually, like, the train stops, they go out and go, this was the wrong train the whole time.
It's the European Express.
Twist!
So there's no British people on the train.
I don't know. I'm not going to spoil more of it. I'm just telling you the end.
The weakness of that book, actually, is this character who's supposed to be sort of the main character. It's supposed to be the main character. He's not the narrator, though. So the narrator...
Is this Murder on the Express?
It's not Murder on the Express. I'm talking about this story I was writing.
Your story, okay. You can spoil your own story.
I'm not going to spoil that. Because I don't really know it very well, because I've been writing it, but I haven't really figured out how it works.
Are you a fan of the author?
No, I'm not. That's
You've read everything he's read.
That's one of the problems.
You've read everything he's written.
I know, and it's terrible.
Even his early work.
Oh, poor guy. And he thought it was so funny. The problem is, the problem is here's the problem with the book.
Okay.
There's a narrator who shouldn't be the protagonist, but by default, you become the protagonist when you're the narrator.
Mm.
It's impossible to not be the protagonist.
Is he a reliable narrator?
That's a good question. I have not figured that out.
Okay.
But we talked a little while ago about the murder of Roger Ackroyd, where the murderer narrates the story. So I don't really like that. I don't think I will go that way. I don't like an unreliable narrator in a mystery where you are expected to, as part of the pleasure of reading it, is to try to figure out the murder. If in a story the narrator leaves out like a major element of the murder, i.e. that the narrator did it, then I feel like that's kind of cheating, that you're leaving a major clue out of the story.
Okay.
Or that clues can be left out of the story. And maybe the puzzle is to figure out why the story doesn't add up because there's clues that are missing. I don't
know. Could the narrator be the victim but doesn't know who murdered them?
You could do well. I mean, you can do that, but I think you would know who murdered you.
Why?
Unless you're poisoned, I guess.
Yeah,
if someone poisoned you or snuck
up behind you or stabbed you or killed you in your sleep.
That's possible. But then
pushed you off a train.
It'd be a very dull.
It was in the dark.
It'd be a very dull retelling of the story.
How so?
Because you wouldn't know who killed you.
Maybe. Well, it gives the narrator a little bit of motive to find out what's going on.
So it's not just a retelling by a corpse. It's a ghost who's investigating his own. So thinking of like Sunset Boulevard, where you have William Holden lying dead in the pool at the beginning of the
movie.
But
William Holden knows who killed him.
Yes. But that's what makes it work because he's a reliable, he's a narrator who can tell you right. the whole story of how did this happen to me.
Well, I mean, what you've got then is you've got, if you got, you know, you can say ghost, but like, you know, if you've got an, you know, I don't like saying that word, but yeah, if you've got.
You don't like saying the word ghost?
No, because it's ooh. Yeah. You know, instead it's like, this, is, this is the victim. And yeah. now the victim doesn't know who killed
yeah.
them.
Yeah.
And so they've now, as the narrator, have a reason why they're able to be anywhere they need to be in the okay. story and are unfolding it. And they've also got a motivation for caring about this.
So are they, but they're not a participant. Are they just a nope. viewer? They're just a spectator of yep. other people's attempts to
That's right.
solve the murder.
Yep.
Okay, that could be interesting. That's kind of like, I guess it's not like, I was going to say it's kind of like The Lovely Bones, but she knows who kills her. Huh, yeah. I'm sure there are books like that, mm-hmm. but I don't know enough. I'm not a huge mystery buff.
I'm not a guy who enjoys a horror movie in any way, but I will
read, that is silly.
I will read a plot to a horror thing because I like reading the plots.
Yeah.
It is not a horror thing, but there's a movie out now called Ghost Story. Sounds pretty good.
Oh, really?
Let me just say that much. I'm going to tell you what it
but
is.
But it's not a horror. You're not going to go see it now that you've read the whole
movie. I could. It's not something that I would dislike seeing, but okay. It's just interesting. Yeah. Oh. So, like, oh, that's a good plot. I'm good stuff, plot. Okay. Well done.
I will keep my mind open for it.
Yeah. When you see it on whatever you need. But I believe it might be, I'm trying to remember who the actor is. I think it's Joaquin Phoenix, perhaps, is the
I like him.
Lead.
I liked him very much in a little film that people did not see called Inherent Vice. Did you see that movie?
No, I have not.
It's kind of a stumbling stoner detective movie, kind of 70s filtered through the 90s, maybe through the noughties.
I will check this out. I liked him in a film called Space Camp.
Space Camp with yeah. Kurt Russell.
Yeah, he's Leaf Phoenix.
Oh, huh.
Yep.
I liked that movie when I saw it. It's been a while. Yeah. I went with the girls when they were
sassy
very young.
Sassy robot in it? Yeah, what's not to like?
He's a sassy robot or there is a sassy robot?
You know, he's a kid.
Yeah.
But there's a robot in it. Yeah. It's a, I don't know if it's a wisecracking robot. It's got some robot things to say, but not crazy, yeah. unrealistic robot. This is the thing about 80s. The 80s would lead you to believe that our technology with robots was fantastic.
Yeah.
And we really did have artificial intelligence back then with sassy robots.
Okay.
That wanted to check out breasts.
Mm.
Yeah. And then when they saw them, they would go, nice software.
Yeah. But look,
and then we'd all have like a really good laugh because that robot was a big perv. Someone programmed that robot to be a big perv.
You have to look no further than the programmer. So that's the the real, he's the real villain. I was just going to say one more thing about the mystery story, which is my point there was going to be that, so I've written this character, I've written these two characters, and the one character is almost a cipher to me as the author, because I really don't understand his character at all. It's very curious. Whereas the other character, I feel very, I know intimately. I know his backstory. I know, you know, why he is the way he is. The other character, I'm not really too sure about. I think partly because I based him on an actor and a lot of his backstory on a actual person.
And this is the one that you know well.
No.
This one you don't
know. I don't know well. And because I feel like I based him on an actor who, I don't know that actor. I mean, I know his story. I know his life. I know his movies. But I don't know him.
Mm.
And so I basically kind of, it's a problem because you just sort of, well, I'm just going to base it on this person and use elements of his history for my character. But the problem then those moments and stuff like that have no real meaning to you, you know, like unlike the other character where I have like an emotional connection to him because I've created these elements of his life that shape his character, where this other character, I didn't create those elements. Coke bottle. I didn't create those elements. What are you laughing at?
I was going like, what a great Fatty Arbuckle impression. Okay, go ahead.
I just kind of took them, but I never really thought about them or have sat and pondered them. Or, you know, there's a story about Dollop of Trollope Time, of Anthony Trollope. When he wrote, he would often write while he was horseback riding between his various places he would visit for his job. So he would go from town to town and inspect the post offices to make sure that they ran properly and were following the guidelines and things. And so while he was writing, he would just create these magical places in his mind and create people, and he would just populate them, and they would all have stories, and he knew all about them, and he loved them all, and even the villains, like everything was all like planned out and thought through, and he just knew them all intimately. And I think that you kind of need that when you write, because otherwise the character's really, like I say with this character, he's doing things because I'm making him do things, but I have this feeling that he'll never do something that I wouldn't expect because I don't have a grip on his character that way. Whereas my other character could easily fool me or stymie me in some way by not following my wishes in terms of plot. This other character would never do that because he's just not alive that way.
That is an interesting thing when you're writing, when a character does something that legitimately surprises mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, that's a great moment because then you realize, oh, this character is a real is now a real part of the story.
Yeah,
because they're making their own life the way that we would too, with our good or bad choices.
Yeah,
and that feels really good when you just realize, oh no, I can't force. You know, I can't force this character to bend to my will because it'll create an artificial story because the reaction then won't be real. The real reaction is this one that you know that you don't want, but you have to do it because that's the real reaction, you know. And yeah, that's a great moment. I love that moment when you're reading.
I'm watching a cartoon right now that has, I'm not caring for, but it's been getting really good reviews.
A cartoon?
A cartoon.
It's like a daily or weekly cartoon kind of thing?
It's on Netflix right now. It's Castlevania. It's based on... it's based on a video game.
Castlevania.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in the video game, there's a character who goes and fights Dracula in a castle and sure. some stuff. So the setup for this is Dracula has a castle.
Yeah.
And a woman shows up. She's a woman of science, and she asks Dracula, "Listen, I want to you're creating all these amazing things here," because he's also a scientist.
Okay.
And you know, and she's not scared of him. He respects her. They fall in love. This is actually working out pretty good.
Okay.
Things are great. She's telling him, "You know what? You're a bit of a stick in the mud. You should go see the world." And he's like, "You know what? Maybe I should see the world. You really changed my mind." Dracula goes, "Okay, fine. I'm going to see the world. Maybe some spoilers on Castlevania for you." So Dracula goes off to see the world. Well, gosh darn it. If you wouldn't, you know, as it always happens, the church decides to burn her as a witch.
Wait a second.
Okay.
Count Dracula is a woman.
No. Count Dracula goes to walk around the world.
Oh, okay.
The woman that he is in love with,
oh.
who wanted to come and see and talk to him about science.
Yeah.
They fall in love.
Yeah.
But she convinces him, "You've been here too long. You need to go see the world. I don't care about the humanity." He has a different accent than that. What I'm going to do him as Dracula.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, "I'm going to go see the world. So long." He leaves. The church goes, "Hey, that woman who's doing science, witch. She's a witch. Let's grab her."
Well, where do they come from?
The church?
Yeah.
Church is always around.
Okay.
Grabs her, decides to burn her at the stake. Well, Dracula don't much cotton to that when he comes back home.
So has she been burned?
She does. She gets burned. So, but she's doing hey, Dracula, if you hear me, don't kill them. Don't go back to your old ways. She's just yelling that out loud. Dracula doesn't hear her because Dracula's, you know, bumming around North America. Or whatever.
He's living on the road. He's sell paradise.
So, yeah. So a couple months later, Dracula shows up, goes, "Hey, where's my wife?"
Yeah.
Things don't work out. Little gets angry and says to everybody, "All right, well, she was the only thing I loved in this world. I'm going to give you a year, get your shit together, make your peace, then I'm going to kill you all."
Okay.
And that's where we're starting off.
That's where it starts. This is not like, starts. I thought this was like two or three episodes in.
No, that's the start. That's the premise. Is like Dracula's now going to take over.
Is it then like Gilligan's Island? Do they sing this? Do they sing
just
the story?
"Just sit right back. I fell in love with a woman scientist. And then I went around the world. She got burnt and so I'm pissed. I'll kill them all 1 year, I say. And then the guy shows up and he says, I will fight you. And I say, put them up. We fight. Okay, anyway. So that is basically the premise.
That was good.
So you get that.
He sold
like,
me.
This is a pretty good premise, but you know, everyone is, except for the main characters, everyone just says the shit that you'd say.
Mm.
So it's like, it's the church, and they're like, "She is a witch, and we will burn her as a witch in the name of God." And you know, "Oh, there's a drunk guy at the bar. I'm the drunk guy at the bar.
That's
the just drunk guy at the bar talk." And everyone,
"I will burn this bar in the name of the bar."
That's right. And all these one-note characters.
Yeah.
Are around, except for your protagonist, who is a guy whose family kills vampires, but is disrespected. No one likes this guy.
Oh.
He wears a big fur coat, handsome as hell.
Of course.
But everyone's like, "That guy, we don't like him. Now I'm a drunk in a bar, and I tell you, and I say, I swear a lot, because fuck, you know, that we're a badass cartoon." But we went through like three episodes, and it's just, oh boy, they just don't get to the damn point. Mm. And everyone just like talks to death, and the main character says some things and has like a sort of personality, and Dracula, when you see him, sort of has a personality.
Yeah.
And absolutely everybody else is just getting out information. It's just, and it's a pretty good writer who writes, I'm not going to say his name, but it's a pretty good writer.
Can I guess?
From comics.
William Shakespeare?
No.
Oh.
And we just couldn't take it. Like by the time we got to the third, there's four episodes. By the time we got to the third episode, we're just, "Can you watch this anymore? I can't. You know, just can't do it." You know, I'm kind of curious to see, and they haven't even met yet. The protagonist and antagonist have not met yet.
Yeah.
And it's an overdoing of the gore. It just feels like, you know, we'll shock you. Hey, here's a whip. I'm going to whip your eyeball out. And it goes flying. Ooh. Or, you know, demons come and the demons take a baby. And you're like, they took a baby. Fine. It's fine. They took a baby. It's fine. It's fine. It's all fucking fine.
Not unexpected.
It's all badass fucking fine. Pretty good video games, though, Castlevania games.
Okay. I have a question for you.
Okay.
If you're watching a movie.
Right.
And for whatever reason, you'd have to turn it off.
Because I dislike it, or because there's an emergency.
Maybe
a guy robbing cars in front of my house, because that happens.
Maybe you didn't have time. Maybe you had like an hour to watch something, and you put it on.
Okay.
Will you finish it if you turn it off? It's not because you didn't turn off because you didn't like it. Maybe just something came up.
Right.
Lunchtime or whatever.
I'll probably watch it at the same time the next day if that was the time we were watching a movie, me and my wife together. Yeah. If I'm watching it on my own, maybe not. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah.
Never again.
You will.
Okay, I'll never get back to it.
The question. You'll never get back to it.
Yeah.
You don't want to see how it happens, what goes on?
I mean, I'd like to. I mean, I was watching Nightcrawler, okay. And I was really enjoying it. I thought it was a really good film.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, I had to turn it off.
Uh-huh.
I never finished it, and I don't think I ever will.
How far from the end are you?
Like 20 minutes. I know.
Really?
It's weird, isn't it? But I just have no interest. I just cannot be bothered.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
You say no interest. I say that's interesting.
I know. It's curious. Like, I just, there's, if I turn off a movie.
Yep.
You know, it could be that I didn't like it very much, but there's lots of films that I've watched to the end and didn't think much of them.
Okay, you start reading a magazine article. You have to stop because you got to do something. Maybe you stop pooping. Will you read the rest of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, a book you don't read in one go.
I wonder if it's accessibility, because I feel like finding something on Netflix is too much trouble for me. Okay. I know there's a search function, but it's just like a lot of steps I don't want to. I can't be bothered with.
The Netflix just says, "Do you want to keep watching?" That's the first thing.
Well, sometimes they do, but this has been a while since I watched it. Right.
I do have a very large keep watching file.
Mm.
Do you want to keep watching? But that's because a lot of times it's TV shows,
mm.
and they say, "Do you want to keep watching the entire series?" Here's the thing about Nightcrawler, and I'm sure you know this. What's the one thing that he does not do in the movie?
Blink.
Yeah, pretty good.
Yeah, it's a very good film. I got to say, like, if people haven't seen it, Jake Gyllenhaal does a fantastic job. In that movie, he's just great. And it's a good film, and one of the last roles of Bill Paxton.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was a good movie, and I was really enjoying it. Problem was, is something came up, and I had to turn it off. And
maybe you will consider it a better movie than if you saw the last 20 minutes. Who knows?
I don't. Maybe.
So you know what? It will now always be in your heart. It will never be over.
Will always be in my
heart. If I could have just watched whatever the Rogue One and left it 20 minutes before the end. Everything would be fine.
It's funny. That was the best part of the film to me, actually, was the ending. Not the end of it, but the way it ended for the characters. I liked that part the best in the whole film.
There's a film I will probably never watch again.
No, why would you bother?
Here's my beef with that film. Because afterwards, it was a thing where, like, wait, what was in the trailer? I seem to remember a bunch of stuff in the trailer I didn't see. And then I watched the trailer, and there's so much that's in the trailer that is not in the movie.
Yeah.
That, seriously, I just go... Well, fuck you, movie. Fuck you. Like, you didn't care. Like, this wasn't a full story that you felt the need to tell.
Yeah.
This was, compromise. We're going to keep editing it up until the end. Here it is. And it's like, oh, well, yeah.
No, still no good.
What's the point?
Yeah.
What's the point then? You know? It's like, this is what I was thinking. Have we talked about this, the Han Solo movie where they kick the
No, we haven't talked about it. Let's talk about that. Off. Phil Lord and
Chris something.
Chris King? Chris Miller?
Chris, that sounds about right. Yeah, where they kicked,
Lord Miller, yeah, Lord
yeah,
Miller.
Where they got fired, and Ron Howard got brought, and Ron Howard's fine. Ron Howard,
he's a journeyman director. I wouldn't say, you know, what film would you quote of his that's like an inspiring visual feast or
fuck,
whatever?
Man, I can look up Ron Howard. I mean, and
he's
we'll
one of those directors that when you you look at his filmography, you're like, oh, he did that.
Yeah.
Oh, he did that.
He did a bunch of interesting stuff. Yeah,
he's done. Yeah, he's had a long and
then you
career.
Get into things like The Paper. Oh, I really like The Paper. And then you go into things.
Is this I'm sure
he does a bunch of different stuff, and he likes being variety. Okay,
I'm sure he can pull the willow out of this film.
Yeah, this isn't about Ron Howard.
No.
The thing here's
about giant conglomerates.
Yeah, and apparently, like, is it Lawrence Kasdan?
Lawrence Kasdan, yeah.
Yeah, who was really complaining about them doing too much improv during the movie and
He wrote the screenplay.
Yeah, that's fucking great that he wrote the screenplay. And Kathleen, what's her name?
Kennedy?
Marshall. Marshall, is that
I thought it was Kathleen Kennedy.
Kennedy, sure. Okay, it sounds great. And they all had big complaints about it, and it was like, it was too funny, and it was off the mark. Here's your fix, okay, for all of that.
Yeah.
Because, look, we just had the bummer film. We just had the bummer film where it's like, the greatest sacrifice they made. Somber, somber. How many laughs in that Star Wars? Very little.
Yeah.
You know, very little, very somber. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. balance the fucking thing out with like a light, because you know, either you can do a bunch of stuff in this universe or everything has to be the same tone.
Yeah.
If everything has to be the same tone, snooze. But if everything can be different, yeah. you know, look at the Marvel movies and like they all have some humor in them, but they're very yeah. different movies in style.
Yeah.
You know, Winter Soldier is very different than Ant-Man, is very different than Amazing Spider-Man. I know that's Sony, but they're working on it too. It's very different than Guardians of the Galaxy. Anyway, so you got variety and that keeps it all together, yet you can unite for the bigger movies. That's great. But here's the thing about Han Solo. All you got to do to fix this fucking shit, you know, you can have stuff that's like out of continuity. You can have stuff that's wrong. You can have stuff that's out of character.
Yeah.
It's a young story. Here's all you fucking have to do. This one goddamn simple fucking thing is this. Have Han be telling the story because he's a bullshitter.
Yeah.
There, he's just bullshitted some of this story. So it could be real, it could be not. You don't know, you don't mind, because it's like you're, you know, the con guy is telling you the story.
Yeah.
So there you go, and then just have fun with it. Mm. Go to town.
I've heard they've had more problems than just Lord Miller. Like for instance, the actor who's playing Han
Chewbacca
Solo.
Chewbacca won't do it. He's just all not enough Chewbacca time.
The actor playing Han Solo had to be sent for acting lessons.
Okay.
They felt like he was too weak in the role, and. So, yeah, it's an interesting series of problems. Here's the main thing to think about.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. it's just a dumb movie.
I know. Look, I forget the name of the guy who played Anakin in the prequels. Not the little guy, but the other guy. Mm-hmm. He was terrible. And it's fine. You move on. Go on with your life. You're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so Han Solo can't act. I'm sorry.
I mean, the movie sounds terrible in the, like what I heard, which like stuff like.
Donald Glover more lines. He's great.
We'll find out where.
He'll be fine.
We'll find out where Han Solo got his name. That's what there were another like little things about the movie. We'll find out where Han Solo got his name. Where he got his name? Isn't that his name? Wasn't his name like just a reference to the fact that he's a loner?
Yeah.
He's
Why like, is that a weird a lone name? Wolf? He's, you know, he's.
Where did he get his name?
Do you know who's got a weird name? Mm. Leia. Because she's the only one with a real name. Everyone else is Brop Tube Zip Barp. And it's like, hey, Leia, what's up?
Who named you? Your old-fashioned parents?
Yeah, Luke. Luke and Leia. Oh, hey, weirdos.
That's weird.
I'm Jabba.
What's with the New Testament reference? This is, seems
Have you
rather...
met Fliptonius Clomboxetsy? I'm Blip-Lorp.
Dexter,
okay, all
Dexter?
Right. All right, Steve. How's it going?
Yes.
It's, yeah. No, Han Solo. Who cares?
Yeah.
And you don't care about his origins.
No.
What you would care about is if maybe you saw the origin a couple of different ways and a couple of different times.
Rashomon
yeah,
style.
Yeah, like just crazy Rashomon it. Just who cares? It's all bullshit. You know, he's a con guy, so play with it. Have fun with that. He's the one guy that you can do all that kind of stuff with. How'd he meet Chewbacca? I don't know.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. And it might not be true, and
That's
who cares? Move on. Have fun.
Yeah.
This is the one that you can have a little bit of fun with. No, it's got to be in continuity, and it's got to like reveal secrets. No one wants secrets revealed.
I don't know. Well, I'm not sure what Kazan's, you know, besides that they didn't follow his script that he spent 3 years writing.
Yeah. You got paid. You're fine.
He is also a producer on it, though. So, I mean, he has more than just a little bit of say, I guess. I mean, I know that you like them as directors. I'm indifferent to it all.
Well, I like, I like Clone High. I like the Lego movies. I like, 21.
Yeah, you like everything they've done.
21 Jump Street's fine.
Yeah.
What else they do?
22 Jump Street?
Yeah, it was all right. You know.
Did Lego Batman?
You know what? Everything they do is better than it should be.
That's for sure. I'll agree with you there. Because when you hear someone's going to do 21 Jump Street, you're like, what the bleep? And then you see it and you're like, oh, this is good.
Yeah. And Dave, you know I've got deep.
Let me just say one thing.
Got deep ties to Jump Street.
Yes, you do.
I have worked with Aoki.
You've worked with? Yeah.
I helped bring down the ring of one prostitute who was helping people steal stereos.
One prostitute.
Yeah.
That's all the budget could afford.
She would prostitute, and then someone would sneak in and steal a stereo.
What a scam.
What a criminal empire.
That seems like the most...
Yeah.
You know, like, wouldn't it be better just to prostitute and be like have a return customer? Rather than the much people mad at you who are missing their stereos.
Yeah. And also, do it all in one town.
But you know what?
Hey, when I got that prostitute, my stereo went missing too.
Yeah. They don't call them criminals because they're smart. The thing about, you kind of dissed on 22 Jump Street. I just want to say slam poetry. That scene is just so good.
In 22 Jump Street?
Yeah.
I don't remember the slam poetry.
Oh, you don't remember
scene.
What he does it? I think it is in 22 Jump Street. He does the slam poetry, right?
Are you thinking, So I Married an Axe Murderer?
No. He's on stage and he's like, he's doing the, don't remember that? Jonah Hill's doing it?
No.
Oh, it's a very good scene.
Okay.
You didn't watch this movie, apparently. You think you watched 22 Jump Street, hence your indifference to it.
Yeah, you didn't watch You didn't really watch it.
Yeah, you didn't really watch it.
You didn't watch
like
it
I did.
Deep like I did. That's why Dave can only watch movies once.
I watched it.
Because he watches them really deep. He takes them inside. He keeps them with him.
That's right. The one time I watched it, I really enjoyed it. I have seen the credit sequence a couple times, so. Because Eve watches it.
Oh, it's a pretty funny credit sequence. Yes.
And I have watched the slam poetry scene a couple times. Because, like I say, Eve, if Eve's watching it, I will stop and watch that bit for a little bit. Oh, that's good. Good stuff. It's one of those few humiliation scenes that I can enjoy. Because I'm not a huge fan of comedy of humiliation. But it kind of verges on that. And then it kind of teeters back to the respectability. And then it kind of fends things. And then Channing Tatum does his fabulous little hand gesture. And that ends the scene.
I'm in general against more Star Wars movies, just in general.
You're for more
I'm
Star Wars?
I'm against them.
Yeah.
Because we're done.
Yeah.
Did you beat the Empire? We did. That's great. Mm-hmm. Hey, wait a second. Why we bring everybody back? Oh, why? Oh, you know, because they're sad now. Why do we want to see that? They were happy. Yeah, but, you know, listen, they didn't do a good job and the Empire's back. Oh, why do I want to see that? Why is that good? Because they might beat the Empire again? We've been here. We've done it. What's new? What's the new thing that you want to say?
We've had this argument before, and I think you could argue that they did not beat the Empire. That they
okay, all right.
They won a skirmish and a war.
Okay. But the way we ended things, hooray! Yeah.
Well, we ended things,
happy.
But we didn't end things. There wasn't the war against the Empire wasn't finalized.
Okay, what's
but
there
the,
to say story wise?
Let me see.
All right, go ahead.
The war against the Empire was not ended, but the story arc between Luke and his father was finished in those movies.
Okay.
You know, that's why you didn't need Luke and Leia in those films, really. Or not Luke and Leia, sorry, Han and Leia so much in those movies. Like, that's not an important part of the story. They basically just become like minor characters.
You mean Han and Leia in Return of the Jedi?
Return of the Jedi, yeah.
All right.
They just become minor characters in the story rather than
everyone
being...
loves Han Solo, so you got to bring him. There's only
you
one.
Know what?
People... She's the only woman who speaks in the universe, so you got to bring her in.
Well, you could have had other speaking women.
Could you?
I don't know.
Yeah,
maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong. But yeah, so I feel like in terms of like the Star Wars universe, that it's not to me. I'm not against the idea of exploring those things. My problem with Rogue One and the Han Solo film is this: Rogue One is just filling in some unnecessary gap of how the plans got into Princess Leia's hands. It's really not important at all how the plans got into Princess Leia's hands. Like, who cares? What is important is in that movie. She had some plans. Her ship got intercepted. Mm-hmm. She hid them, and then the adventure begins.
Yeah,
that's the importance of those plans. They're basically a MacGuffin. We don't need, you know, like they just kind of drive the plot to a certain point. Han Solo, once again, it's unnecessary because we know the character as much as we need to know him. We know him from his character in the first movie. We know exactly who he is. That movie lays out his character for us perfectly. It's a thief with a heart of gold. There you go. What do you mean?
Okay, he's a thief who becomes a thief with a heart of gold.
Yeah.
He's inspired by...
That's right.
So when we see him earlier, mm-hmm. he's an asshole still. Yeah. So do you make him not an asshole?
He's an asshole, but he's not such an asshole that he won't help them. You know what I mean?
Really?
Well, yeah.
Do you think Han Solo would help somebody when you first meet him?
I think
In the first movie?
I think he helps them.
He helps them by the end, but then that's a surprise.
I guess you're right. Yeah. So, I mean, his character has an arc.
Yeah. So we're now going to that character before the arc.
Yeah.
Like, you could have a thing where you see what makes him bitter.
But why? Who cares?
Well, it's the only way to get him to the point where he's starting off the movie. Like,
I understand what you're saying, but I'm just saying, like, it doesn't matter. Like, all that stuff doesn't really matter.
Of course
but
it
whereas,
doesn't matter.
But whereas in The Force Awakens, like, you know, it doesn't kill me that, like, Luke and Leia and people like that are in it. But what's more interesting about it is Rey and the guy with the mask, Kylo Ren. Mm. And like, those are the characters I actually really like in those films.
Sure.
I find, like, the Han and Leia and stuff like that is... Because I think because those characters are so much... They're so locked into those first three films that there's not much left to say about them. You know what I mean? Like, when they come into those movies, you know, they're just kind of there. And they just kind of do functionary roles. So they don't do key things. They don't, you know, they're not interesting the way that Rey is interesting, the way that Kylo Ren is interesting, the way that I can't remember the name of the black stormtrooper's name.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Phil.
Phil's character. Like, those are interesting. Finn, there you go. Thank you. Finn's character is interesting. Like, that's a fun part of that movie for me. Like, the, you know. And yeah. So that I like because it's new. It's not like this weird thing like, we're going to tell you how Darth Vader became evil. Who cares?
Yeah, what I'd like is I'd like to see, I wouldn't mind seeing those characters, but unconnected to, directly connected to the ones we've already seen, because...
I don't mind if it's a trade, if it's like a trade over of, don't mean like if there's like, well, because we know that, I mean, Leia did film some parts for the second film, but she's not going to be in the third one. So really, there is going to be a passing of the torch.
Yeah.
There's a passing of the torch from Han. There's going to be a passing of the torch from Leia. Maybe there'll be a passing of the torch from Luke. So those characters go on with their stories unencumbered by characters from the first three films.
Sure.
And I would like that a lot. Because I like the Star Wars universe. I enjoy the elements of it. I like the Force, and I like the technology, the kind of weird medieval future technology of the lightsabers and stuff like that. It's like a film that did all those things very right.
Yep.
In a way that any other film that followed after it, even though it had it as a template, couldn't do it. Like, you watch a film like Krull, you're just like, did you not understand? Like, what made Star Wars interesting?
Nope.
They did not. They did not understand it at all, you know? And their attempt to, like, model elements of it and have, like, this sort of space medieval fantasy, it's just ridiculous because in no way, none of its imagination equals what George Lucas imagined for his films. And so I wish and hope that the new Star Wars films will take that imagination further. Not necessarily like better his, but I just mean like have their own ideas and have their own.
Well,
kind
I mean,
future
Lucas
things.
Was doing, you know, like basically ripping off samurai moves in a good way.
But also,
the old serials, I was thinking. But whereas Krull was ripping off Star Wars.
Yeah.
They didn't have as much of a base to go from.
That's right. Okay.
You know, whereas you got a rich history of shit to rip off.
No, you're right.
You know, when you're George Lucas, and it's the old, oh, I'm seeing this for the very first time. Mm-hmm. This is brilliant. Someone else rips off the.
And I mean, George Lucas's story to me is a tragic story. I mean, because he was a really good filmmaker. Mm-hmm. If you watch THX 1138, or if you watch
American Graffiti,
those are really good films.
Yep.
Like those are films that if you saw those films, you go, okay, I understand why Alan Ladd Jr. at Fox took a chance with George Lucas and looked at this script that made no sense to anybody and said, okay, we're going to give you this amount of money, a rather adventuresome amount of money for you to make this crazy concoction that makes no sense to me at this moment. You can see that. You can see the talent there. I mean, that dissipated over time, but there is like those movies. And I mean, it's funny when you say like people say, oh, well, like Star Wars, he was inspired by the Hidden Fortress. Well, then you watch the Hidden Fortress and you're like, what? What inspired him? But I think what inspired him was more the look of the films and the idea of
when
those movies.
When people say inspiration, it's not necessarily a direct link.
He's not, that's like right. There's not like characters that he took out. Like, I'm going to turn these two thieves into the droids.
And he didn't necessarily like lift things directly from Buck Rogers. Mm. But there was things of Buck Rogers that he went, oh, this made me feel like this, so this will make me feel like this.
Yeah.
And this will make it's taking a bunch of the old and you make something new out of a bunch of the old. Yeah. Which is literally what they did with the props. You know, here's a couple of Bic razors. We're going to put these here, spray paint it. Now it's a spaceship and here we are. And it's great.
Yeah.
It's absolutely great. And then, you know, and then over time it becomes its own thing and grows out of control. And then you get the prequels because, you know.
The prequels, are a real failure of will.
Well, the prequels, I mean, someone is, you know, I'm by far not the first person to say this, but, you know, a 5-minute discussion in Star Wars was basically what they based three movies on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, well, that must be like the most out of nothing that you've ever. Wait. Yeah, you know, hundreds of whatever's died to bring us these plans.
Yeah,
make a whole movie out of that sentence. Like, oh boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that film, I just did not appreciate it.
There's some good acting. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some things that people like. It's fine. It's all fine.
You know, it's fine space opera, but you don't need. Like, but at the same time, it's not a fine space opera because there's no clear character motivation. There's no clear character in the main character of the film.
Right.
It's super underwritten, despite the fact that it was written over and over again, edited, reshot. It's, you know, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, I mean, it's like to me the other part of it is it had an ending and it was like a solid ending, and it's like that's the end. Great. It's if you went, we're going to make a sequel to Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
That's all wrapped up, right? Okay, but wait, what if they had some kids? And what if Sauron came back? And what if
Sauron's kids came back?
Sauron's kids came back. The spirit of Sauron came back, and maybe it's coming back. And then maybe the same thing sort of happened again. Could we make a couple of movies out of that? And of course, that would be greenlit in a heartbeat, and it would make all the money, and it would be not something you should make because it's already done.
You shouldn't make it. But if you made a film using the Lord, like using the Middle Earth as a backdrop, and you created your own characters and used elements of Lord of the Rings, I wouldn't object to that. I mean, if it was well done, I wouldn't object to that. Obviously, if it was a piece of garbage, you'd object to anything. You'd object to whatever. You'd object to them. I would object to them making a new Pride and Prejudice if it was a piece of garbage. Mm. If it's a good film, I will watch it again. I don't care how many versions there are of it. I will watch and enjoy them all. Mm-hmm. But
would you want to see a sequel to Pride and Prejudice?
Well,
with their kids?
Okay, no, because, and there is one. There's a sequel called Death at Pemberley, written by P.D. James.
Okay, P.D. James, all right.
The problem with sequels to, and I'm okay with sequels or reimaginings. Like, I didn't mind Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, the film.
Okay.
The problem with the book is that no one can be Jane Austen. No one can write as well as Jane Austen can, because she's one of the greatest authors of all time. And so you can love her books. Mm-hmm. And you can love her characters in her books, and you can want to do something with her characters in her books, but you can never duplicate the language of her books and the mind behind that language that brings those characters to life. You just kind of, you know, like I know I saw Death at Pemberley when we were on vacation in England, actually, in 2012. And I was like, oh, P.D. James wrote a continuation of, and I've read a few P.D. James books. You know, she's fine. And so I was like, that sounds interesting. I picked it up and I started reading it, and I read about a page in a bit, and I was like, nope. Because it's not her tone. It's not Jane Austen's tone. Like, it just can't capture that magical Austenian language. Mm-hmm. And so, but if you remake Pride and Prejudice and kind of add your own, all those movies, I don't care whether it's the 1940s version or it's the 80s TV version or the 90s TV version or the movie with Keira Knightley, they're all different. They all have their own kind of idea of what the book is, their own idea of characters and stuff like that. So they're different, but they're all interesting. And I don't go, this isn't the book. What I always say, of course, is they got the bad guy wrong again.
Okay.
Don't know why I can't remember his name.
Sauron.
They got Sauron wrong again. Ugh, Darcy. Darcy's easy to get right. It's hard to get a villain right. Because you really have to play a villain well. Like, the only, I haven't talked about this before, but I'll say it again. The only adaptation of Pride and Prejudice that got that character, I'm sorry, Louise. I know that you're yelling at me right now, saying his name to me, and for all, and I just can't remember it. But anyway, the only version that got that character right was the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, the web series.
Okay.
Modern adaptation. And once again, I love that. It's a modern adaptation of Jane Austen, told it as a series of vlogs that in no way at all follows the Jane Austen story. But it has it's still great because it follows that storyline, and it's such a great storyline. It works really great. But they're the only ones that get that character right because they don't hesitate to make him a really handsome man, which is what he is in the story. He's someone who you see, and even though he's like the portrait of Dorian Gray inside, outside he's this beautiful, charming man that will win you over to him and make you sympathetic with him because he's good looking.
Yeah.
And people who are good looking are sympathetic to us, you know, because we're like, oh, this guy's really good looking. What possibly wrong thing could he do? He's such a handsome fellow, you know, and that's what you need in that character. You need somebody who's charming, and they really get it right in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. Whereas every other movie, because Darcy is the main actor and very vain, because he's an actor, he doesn't want another actor who's hired to be a better looking actor than him, a better looking character than him. And so that's always a stumbling block in an adaptation. It's the same way that Eleanor is often not the ugly, is not less attractive than Jane. Because in the story, Jane is the most attractive character. But when you've been hired and you are the lead actress in a movie, and then you're told, oh, by the way, we hired a bombshell, a real knockout to play your sister. What do you say to that? No. You say, I don't know if you saw my contract, but it says I will not play opposite a bombshell. So yeah, it is, you know, actors. But when you do a web series with a bunch of known names, well, then you can just lord it over them. I'll tell you something unfortunate about the Lizzie Bennet Diaries. I'll tell you right now. Her sister Jane, who is a real cutie in the Lizzie Bennet Diaries, and I love her character. I fell in love with her character during the thing, and the actress herself. She's had the misfortune to have a recurring role on Big Bang Theory. And even though I love her, and think she's just the cat's pajamas, I will not watch her on that show.
Of course you won't.
Because that show is a steaming pile of garbage.
It's other people. Yeah, it's for other people.
It's for other people that aren't me.
It's other people.
Bazinga.
We were talking on the last show about mainstream comedy, and we're trying to decide, like, what's
I'm sorry I got so enthusiastic about Jane Austen.
Oh, that's what's that?
I'm sorry I got so enthusiastic about Jane Austen.
But like with mainstream comedy, I'd say the Big Bang Theory is like the mainstream comedy now, which is weird because it's about people who are, you know, know, can't fit in and are, you know, are all like hacked into the nerd subculture.
But nerd subculture, that's a misnomer.
Oh, it's bullshit. Yeah, because it's like, they like Batman. Oh my gosh, you like Batman.
That's yeah, great. Yeah, yeah.
It's like liking Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of, okay, but back to Star Wars for a second. Here's what I think a problem is with Star Wars. Is
The Star Wars or a Star Wars?
The main, when building on anything besides the main three Star Wars.
Okay.
Is you have character arcs that all these characters go on. Yeah. They all have their arcs.
Yep.
Now, you do something beforehand or you do something after.
Yep.
You fuck up the arc.
Exactly.
You know,
I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with you. That's why I like the fact that it's Rey and Finn and Kylo, and those are the new characters that have their own stories that are going on.
Because when you do and again, I'm you know, I may be involved in something Star Warsy in the future. Anyway,
You have to be very guarded with what you say.
So guarded.
Yeah,
but like
I've noticed that you've been really holding back.
It's doing stories in that universe, and the problem is like, well, if you're writing about Darth Vader, you know what Darth Vader's journey is. Now, when you're writing Darth Vader, do you show that he's got a little bit of tenderness in there for his son, or doesn't quite want all this, or, you know, does he, because, you know, what's the deal? Does he just completely change his mind in the last second? Or was this there the whole time? Or was there some good in him? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, what do you do? Well, the arc is all there in the movie. You put anything else in there and do a story midway and just make, now he's a super badass. He's just killing everybody. It's like, all right.
Yeah.
But is that really Darth Vader then? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they did that with the Rogue One.
Yeah.
They had Darth Vader like, look at him. He's just a crazy killing machine. And it's like, yeah, it's cool. But is it cool?
It was cool.
It's cool as a kid.
It is cool.
But it was like, oh, you're doing a video game Darth Vader.
Yeah.
That's all right. But then the next time we see Darth Vader, he's just that guy walking down the hallway, just lightly picking a dude up. And it's like, oh, what? Well, this ain't the guy that we see when we first meet Darth Vader.
I agree.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, when we last saw this guy in the other movies, if you even count those other movies, he was killing a bunch of kids. You know, it's like that guy, that asshole.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like, fuck.
I agree with you. And
this main thing the more that you do all the side stories.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, to me, Return of the Jedi already muddied the water by stretching out the Luke and Leia characters past their arcs. Their arcs finish basically with the end of Empire.
Yeah.
And you don't need any more from them. Their characters have nothing more to contribute in terms of story. Yeah, they can be functionaries. They can be Porkins in this, you know, have as much importance as him. But they can't, that's the only name I know of any of their pilots.
Sure.
What's the other guy's names?
Wedge.
They can be Wedge, but they can't be Hannah.
And there's also Doorstop. And Ottoman.
Okay, Ottoman.
Yeah.
They can be Ottoman.
Yeah.
But they can't be Han and Leia anymore because their character arc is done. Like, their love story is complete. When she says, I love you, and he says, I know.
Improvised line.
Great improvised line. That's the end of the story.
Yeah.
That's the end of the story.
Isn't that nice of the best line in Empire Strikes Back is an improvised line?
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about, we can't have all this improv.
That's
the lines that you like are the improvised
lines. Yeah, yeah, you're right.
I'm just going to throw that out there. Lawrence Kasdan didn't write that line.
I think you're right because, if you read... there's a really great diary of the making of Empire Strikes Back, and the author in there details quite a bit of Irving Kirshner. Is that his name? Irving? I think it's Irving Kirshner. I hope it's not Irwin Kirshner because I don't feel like a fool. But anyway, Irving Kirshner's working, and he allowed for, and he didn't like that scene. He didn't like the scene as written. That's why he and Harrison Ford discussed it. And I like the fact that he went to the actor who did the role and said, I want to change this. What do you think? How do you think we should change it? And Harrison Ford had his own ideas.
Yeah.
And I think probably appreciated being asked to. And I mean, let's go back to Blade Runner, were we talking about Blade Runner this episode or last episode?
It's all a blur.
It's all a blur to me now.
We have done almost 300 damn episodes. I don't know.
So anyway, are we
still talking about our favorite dragons?
So he apparently had a lot of issues with Ridley Scott's insistence that he was whatever they call them in those things.
Replicant.
Replicant. He's like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would then I be falling in love with her character? Like, if I'm just a replicant as well, like, what does it matter? Like, what does any of this matter then? Like,
yeah.
And so, they would constantly have fights and stuff like that. And that's an instance where the director has his own ideas and will not listen to the actors who also have valid ideas of the character. I mean, when you go into a movie, I assume as an actor, you spend time thinking about who your character is.
Yep.
Dream up backstories, have your own kind of ideas of what you're bringing. You bring something to that character, and you walk in the door with a character in your mind of what you're gonna do or what you're gonna be. You know, I think it's interesting. Like with I guess the very first one, Fistful of Dollars, where Clint Eastwood at the airport like bought stuff for his character and brought it over with him. You know, like he also brought his, like, his own gun from the TV show he did. But he bought a serape.
Yeah, back when you could bring a gun on a plane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sure he put it in his packed luggage rather than carry on.
Back when you could do that.
Yeah. You can't put a gun in a...
In your packed luggage?
That goes into the hold of the plane?
I don't think you can do that anymore. No. Oh, okay. I would not think so.
Because you can't access it, can you?
I don't... You know what? Oh, actually, wait, this did happen. Someone did that and then took it out at the stand, like when the luggage, and started shooting. That was a thing that happened recently. Oh, okay. Yeah,
well,
so...
Well, maybe they've...
Apparently you can.
Yeah,
but don't.
But probably they probably run a curve
frown
that
on it.
Too.
But yeah, anyway, so he got his outfit together.
And so he brought all that stuff over with him. So he had like his character with him. Like it wasn't all there on the page that he brought. And he smokes the little cigarillos. He bought those at the airport.
Which he hates. Yeah,
he didn't smoke. Yeah. So he... That's why he has that little weird facial, like this
thing.
Because he's like, ugh.
Little time. I have
grape
flavored. I have actually the original script for the Empire Strikes Back with the Han scene. Just give me the feed line. You're Leia, and just say I love you, and I'll tell you the because like the normal thing is I love you. I know that's the way. I think.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just give me the feed line, and I'll do Han Solo's original lines.
All right.
Which I happen to have the script for here.
Okay. Ready? Okay. Just 1 second. Okay. Let me just get the character myself.
Get the character. Me, my, mo. Han Solo. Lo. Han Solo. Lo. Okay, all right.
Ready. Here we go. Okay. Han.
Yeah. Yes,
I love
you. Yeah, Leia. There you go. No, okay, you just
do it. Wait, that's not even the...
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, less improvisation, Lord and Miller.
Okay, go.
Okay, Han, I love you.
Don't kill me. Kill her. She's a princess. She's worth more than me. Please, come on, fellas. Just kill her. Take her.
That was
the original lines.
Oh, that's interesting. That's why Bert Lahr did not get the role when he did the audition for him.
I'll give you money. I'll give you power. She's a princess.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks for that. That's really good.
Kill Chewbacca. Not me.
I think you topped. We don't even need to talk about Star Wars anymore ever again.
All right. That sounds fine. Also, by the way, Hollywood, stop making prequels to fairy tales. The end.
Yes, that's right. We don't need to know
unless the backstory. Unless it's the one that I want to make, in which case, that's okay.
Which is?
No, I can't tell you.
You can't tell me.
I can't tell you. But don't be like, hey, you know that villain?
Yeah.
I don't need to know Jafar's backstory, Disney. Mm. I don't need to know what he was like as a young man.
Yeah.
I don't need to know how he met Iago. I don't need to know any of that shit.
Yeah.
I don't need to know any of that shit. I'm fine. Yeah. Here's all I need to know. I don't need to know young Geppetto. I don't want to know what his deal was like and how he was lonely.
His wood
and
fetish?
He started making puppets and he had a ventriloquist dummy that he was friends with and together they had an adventure. I don't need to fucking know that.
Is that such a thing?
No.
Okay. That was very detailed, so I wondered.
No.
Okay.
Here's the only thing I will go with.
Yeah.
You can do a sequel to any of them
as
long as you set it in space.
Oh.
I'll take Pinocchio
so
in space.
So you're okay? Pinocchio in space is okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
That is a very cheap film. That was made for $2. I'm not joking with you.
Is there a Pinocchio in space film?
There is a Pinocchio in space.
What? Yeah. Tell me more.
Oh, it's been a while since I saw this movie. I saw this movie maybe grade 4. It was on in the afternoon.
Is there a space whale?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Okay, when his nose grows, does he break the astronaut suit and smash the glass?
Cannot tell you that. Because here's the thing that happened. I had a friend.
Why is Geppetto in space?
I had a friend sleepover. Mm-hmm. We played during the day.
Okay, this isn't the friend you played Risk with in the
last episode. No. That was about junior high. This is little kid.
Okay.
And I broke our window with a soccer ball accidentally.
Kicked the soccer ball. Did you yell goal when you did?
I did not. My dad was right there when it happened.
Did he laugh or did he get upset?
No, he was not happy with me. Not happy with his son.
Do you know what? Here's the thing. When you have... All right. So say it's the delivery room. I'm just going to say this.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. And it's like...
We were outside.
Okay, but let me just say. It's the delivery room.
Okay.
The delivery room? The delivery room.
Okay.
And you're being born.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, it's a boy. And then they turn to your father and go, he's going to break some fucking windows. Just deal with it. He's going to break at least 4 windows in his life. That's what babies do.
Yeah.
Don't lose your shit.
Yeah.
If this little baby is going to break 4 windows.
Yeah.
It's just some stuff that's going to happen.
You're right.
He's going to shit on the rug. He's going to leave some Legos around. You're going to step on some Lego.
Yeah.
If you can't handle that, we're just keeping him at the hospital. Because that's the way the kids are. Okay, so go ahead, please continue. That's why I think parents need that good talking to beforehand. Hey,
that's right.
You think your house is a mess? It's going to be messier.
Let me just say, he didn't yell at me or anything. He just was not happy. Well, so that's, it happens.
Job, Pele.
So anyway, he said, smooth move, Dedrick.
That's your last name too.
That's right. So I went. I went inside after a little later, and I was sitting down. I sat down and started watching TV.
A broken glass because you didn't clean it up.
Started watching TV, and what the fuck? Pinocchio in space. What am I watching?
Was it just called Pinocchio in
it's
Space?
It's called Pinocchio in Space. It's got the whale
Wait,
in it.
Sorry. All right, Geppetto. Let me, quick question.
Yeah.
Is he a puppet or a robot?
He's not a robot. He's like a boy.
That's stupid. He should be a robot. It's a robot. Like, it's space, right? It justifies it.
Yeah. I think it was an Italian film.
Of course it was.
And they were cashing in on Star Wars.
Not if it was French, there'd be some casual nudity. The blue fairy would show up with no top.
I think this was pre-Star Wars. Man, I feel like looking it up while we're talking.
Go ahead.
You go on. You vamp for me.
All right, let me just do a little something right here and just go like this. Hey, Siri, look up Pinocchio in Space. Pinocchio in Outer Space, 1964. There we go. Conrad Jameson is the lead. Peter Laser, that's a good name for someone who's in space.
Oh, it says 65.
Arnold Stang.
Yeah.
Oh, now Arnold Stang, was he in like Green Acres or something? What am I thinking?
Well, I only know him from It's a Mad, 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 Mad World.
Okay. But yeah, Pinocchio.
He's one of those guys, he had wore glasses and he was a very kind of, you know, a real ectomorph, you know, kind of a real skinny guy.
Okay, all right.
With a distinctive voice. If you heard his voice, right. He'd be like.
Would he win a fight with Don
there
Knotts?
There he is there. That's Arnold Stang on the.
Oh, yeah, that actually. Guy. Yeah, okay, yeah. I see glasses. What you're talking about. And so was he Geppetto?
He was Nerdle the Turtle.
Why is there a turtle? There's no turtle in
I don't maybe there wasn't
Pinocchio.
Geppetto. Maybe he was the stand-in for Jiminy Cricket.
Okay, here's what I would say. I would say you call the space.
Oh, it was produced by Bell Vision, which was also did the Tintin.
Oh, neat. Okay, so it's Geppetto, which is like a space station O, and it's creating robots.
So Raymond LeBlanc, who funded Tintin magazine and
Oh, is he involved in this?
Yeah, he was one of the producers.
Very good. Tell me. All right, you just lay out what this film is about. Go for it.
Okay, let me just find.
All right.
A talking critic character was not present in this production. Instead, Pinocchio's sidekick was Nerdle, an alien tortle sent by his government to investigate an unusual increase of radiation on Mars. Together, they do battle against Astro, a marauding intergalactic whale who was seeking revenge after being abducted by a mysterious race of Martians. That's all. The film. La, 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 la. No, no. That's all they go into in terms of plot. What I'm feeling from this is that no one's really seen this movie except for me.
So, did Pinocchio have to kill this whale?
You know, you got me there. It's been a while.
This really sounds like a remake of Moby Dick in space more than Pinocchio.
When I say I saw something in grade 4,
yeah.
What that means is I do not remember it.
Okay.
We're
going to find the trailer for this. And we're going to put it up on our site.
Yeah, I'll try and I'll look for it.
And honestly, Dave, it's fine. I'm busy right now. I'm in San Diego. I'm walking around. Looking for celebrities. I might be trying to get on a zip line. I really don't know.
Well, it's available on Amazon.com.
We'll put the trailer up. This episode has ground to a halt because of this Pinocchio.
I'm
business.
Sorry. Yeah, you're supposed to be vamping. I'm supposed to be
All right,
reading.
Here's my vamping. Remember when I was a kid, we went to see Pinocchio. We went to see it at the local theater, but it was not Pinocchio, the Disney version, which we thought it was. It was Pinocchio, the Italian version,
Ooh.
Which had the original story.
Very dark.
Oh, incredibly dark.
I read the book as
What's
a kid.
The difference? Here's the difference. Hey, I'm Jiminy Cricket. I'm your conscience. Well, he sings songs and does wonderful things in the Disney version. How about in the original version, in this animated version? Step on, crush, die. Pinocchio just kills Jiminy Cricket in the first time he meets him.
Okay, so here we go.
Oh, okay, there we are.
Pinocchio, who has
Such
lapsed...
Such a happy lad since the day he lost his strings.
Who has lapsed back into his old ways and was changed...
Wait, he's turned back to
was changed back into a puppet as punishment by the Blue Fairy.
Jeez, I didn't know
must
that was a thing.
Become a real boy again. Pinocchio decides the only way to do so is to stop Astro, the space whale, who is smashing up satellites in the cosmos and is practically unstoppable. After singing a musical number and meeting the fox and the cat, who have become beatniks of all things, Pinocchio meets Nerdle the Tortle, an alien secret agent, and together they team up to stop the whale. Now here's something that will recommend the film to everyone, I'm sure. The film only had two animators. Two animators. One of whom was a guy named Fred Ladd, who's better known for bringing anime to North America.
Okay. How did he do that? What did he bring to North America? Which one?
I don't know. It doesn't have like a link for his name there. It just mentions him. I can go back if you want.
No, keep going.
Do you want me to go back?
No.
I'm going back now. I'm going back. Going back in time. I'm going back to read about Pinocchio and Space.
What are you doing? What are you doing? No, we've lost everybody.
All right, I'll put up my phone down.
All right.
I was just curious. Like I say, it's a vague memory, but you seem suddenly really amazed by the fact that there was a Pinocchio in outer space.
Yeah. I didn't know there's any take backsies that where it's like, if you don't be a good boy, now we're going to turn you back into a puppet.
Now you know.
Now, if you better be more careful. He aged, would he turn back into a puppet that's a little older?
Yeah.
Or would he just like immediately just shoot him back to...
No, into a dried up old piece of wood.
If Blue Fairy dies, does he turn into a puppet?
Blue Fairies don't die.
Only her...
Fairies don't die.
Fairies don't die.
No, but they do wear boots.
Well, this is... Dave, there's a little movie.
Yeah.
I think you should see called Peter Pan. And Tinkerbell would have died if we hadn't clapped for her.
Okay.
But we did, and we saved her, and we brought her back to life.
That's right.
But she was going to die.
No, she wasn't going to die.
No.
Are you saying you wouldn't have clapped for her?
I'm saying if not enough people showed up at that theater.
She would have been fine.
They should have had an alternate version where they could just like cut to if no one in the audience claps and just like, well, you didn't clap.
Yeah.
And then they just roll credits.
Yeah.
The end.
I think it's because Tinkerbell is a demi-fairy. She's not a full-on fairy.
So you're saying someone had sex with a fairy?
Yep.
How?
Listen, brother, I do not question these things. I can't help it if that is how the whole like fairy mythology works.
Seems like it'd be a Smee thing to do.
That's right, Smee.
Smee is worse than Captain Hook, by the way.
In what way? Because and then he's voiced by the guy who did Winnie the Pooh, and so it's very confusing for you?
Because Smee, you think like, oh, Smee's not a bad guy. But Smee lets this bad shit go down.
Well,
okay?
Yeah.
Smee knows. Yeah, Smee has a conscience.
Yeah, yeah.
And Smee lets shit happen. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So Smee needs to fuck off.
You're right. You're right. You're right. But he has as much to blame as any person who helps a serial killer. And often those people are in an abusive relationship, and they just can't escape it. And
wait, are you saying that Captain Hook is a serial killer?
I'm saying, he's a serial killer.
He's not. He's a pirate.
And a serial killer.
All right, tell me who he serial killed.
Well, I can't list everyone because we don't see his whole entire storyline. But let me say that there was more than one Peter Pan in that area. And let's say that systematically over time, he killed off these boys who somehow like were so irresponsible in real life that they were magically taken to this island. Is Peter Pan and those little kids running around with animal costumes on? By the way, professionally done, I don't know how they did it so well. I couldn't skin as a child, skin a nut fox and wear it like that. But anyway, never mind.
So what you're saying is the other kids were killed.
Yeah.
And these aren't just the lost boys. They're the last boys.
They're the last boys. That's right. Very good. Very good. I'm glad that we wrote this out before we started the episode. Mm-hmm. Just to get to that killer line.
All right. I'm in.
Yeah, yeah. He's a serial killer. You know that he's done other bad things. There's a crocodile walking around with an alarm clock in him. Like, you know, just don't go around throwing alarm clocks into the other animals because you're a nice guy. No, it's like some sort of weird psychopathy that he puts alarm clocks into animals and he kills boys.
So do you think that crocodile ever gets to feed, or is he just too loud and like any of his prey would just run away? So he's just starving all the time, that poor crocodile.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I don't need to know the crocodile's backstory.
He wrote notes.
Whereas they tell us it's like, what was he like as a little crocodile?
Yeah, we don't need to know that stuff.
Did he not like meat?
We don't need
that. Did he have to, he was a vegetarian and all the other crocodiles made fun of him?
He had a wristwatch in him. Hook was well known as the BTH killer.
Mm-hmm. What's that stand for?
Buy and torture Hook. That was his killing system. He had he traveled around in a panel ship. Capturing young boys.
Yep.
Who, once again, irresponsible. I'm not saying that they were not to blame. These kids are asking for it. Back at home, they did bad things. They spoke rudely to their parents.
Mm-hmm.
Stole cookies from cookie jars.
Ate
too much sugar. Ended up on an island with some sort of native population. Island of lost boys. And misfit toys. And and then he just killed them. And, you know, so I'm saying is that you can't blame anyone for that. It was just all around, it was a bad situation.
So I think what the moral is we don't do two shows a day.
Why not?
I don't know. When you're listening to this one a week from now, you tell me.
You know what? Here's the thing. When I listened to earlier tonight's show,
that
it'll be like a torment to me. It is torture to sit and listen to an episode for me.
Okay.
But when I listen to this show a week from now,
sure,
I will enjoy it immensely because I'll have forgotten everything we said and I'll be listening to it and be like, hey, that's some good stuff there. I like it. I like what you did. I like what you did, Dave. You took us some interesting places, some dark places that maybe Ian wasn't wanting to go.
All right. We are almost out of time, but I noticed you brought out
our box
of fun.
Stupidly, I thought, man, we're going to have nothing to talk about.
Okay.
We better have a crutch. And so I brought out Kanan's box of cards, which I love these cards. I know it's for Pictionary, But I like them just as little conversational things. So I thought, well, eventually we're going to run out of Star Wars to talk about.
All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to you say stop at any point.
Okay, stop.
Stop.
Okay.
So is this one okay?
Sure.
All right. So give me between 1 and 5, and I will give you a light description of what the thing is, and you'll have to guess what it is. Okay, so between 1 and 5.
4.
4.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the name of a movie,
mm-hmm.
but it's also the name of a comic book character. It's both things.
Okay. Spider-Man?
This comic book character has appeared in movies produced by two different production companies, this superhero.
Okay. Two different production companies.
Yep. Also, there's a movie.
Incredible Hulk?
Oh, that's a good guess.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
But the movie involved a bicycle in the movie of the name, but there's no bicycle related to the superheroes of the same a superhero of the same name.
Man, I'm really confused.
The superhero has been portrayed by two different actors.
Okay.
Two different movies.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no. Tell a lie. He has appeared now in, let me see, how many movies? 3 movies.
One movie involved the bicycle.
That was just the movie that has this as the name.
Yeah.
The name, there's a bicycle involved.
Wow.
He is an X-Man.
And there's a bicycle involved.
In the movie of the same name of an X-Man character. But he has also appeared in a Marvel movie. Marvel movie, but he is also an X-Man. He's the only character that has crossed over.
But he has his own comic. He's a comic. Oh, sorry. He has movies.
He has appeared in the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
He has appeared in the Marvel, in a Marvel movie.
Mm.
He's played by different actors in both of them.
Okay.
But he's the only character, Marvel character that's
appeared. Oh, I know who he is. I know who he is.
What is it?
Quicksilver.
That's correct. There was a movie called Quicksilver.
That took me forever. Sorry.
Sure. Sorry. Right.
Oh, I see. That you confused me with the Quicksilver.
I know.
Thing.
I tried to be as clear as I could later on with that, but no dice.
Is my turn to try this thing?
Sure. Go for it.
Okay. I like this game. I like it. It's cool. I'm sure the audience loves it too. Okay, folks.
Two.
Okay. That's funny. We were talking about this last episode.
Reggie Mantle,
yes. This show involves a group of people who went on a boat tour and it did not go well.
Land of the Lost.
This show...
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's Island, that's right. Very good.
Gilligan's Island, which later became an animated version.
Yep.
There's also Gilligan's Planet.
Mm-hmm.
There was The Castaways, which was a TV show that spun off of Gilligan's Island. There was Return to Gilligan's Island. There was Gilligan's Island Meets the Harlem Globetrotters. Hmm. And there's one more, and I cannot remember what the name of that was.
Okay. I'm worse at this than you, so let's give me another try.
And I'll try and say as much shit as I can about whatever these things are.
Okay. Right.
1 to 5.
Okay. Is this a good game, everyone? You liking this?
Okay.
Okay. Oh, 1 to 5. Sorry. 3.
3. Okay. Okay, that one, actually, okay, this is nothing, really. It's a sound effect.
Oh.
It's a sound effect.
Kapow.
That's also a character in Back to the Future.
Flash.
There's no character named Flash in Back to the Future.
Okay.
This is also the name of someone who used to work on the David Letterman show, who also had a gap in his teeth.
Really?
Yeah. Who is the villain in Back to the Future?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know. I've only seen one of those movies, and it was a long time ago.
If you don't have poultry or fish, this is what you'd have if you couldn't speak properly. If you don't have poultry or fish,
you would have
the
mutt?
Other option.
You have mutt.
You would not have mutt. No, not mutton. The other obvious thing you could have besides poultry or fish, if you had a speech impediment, you would eat this.
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, for you, it'd be eating crow.
Oh, I know. Biff.
Yeah, that's correct. Yes.
Biff.
Absolutely. Biff Henderson was the guy who worked
on
the
David
Letterman.
That's right. Okay. That's right. Did you say he appeared on it?
Yeah, he was also appeared on the show.
Yeah, he did.
Regularly. And he had a little gap in his teeth, much like David Letterman did.
Okay.
And Biff was the villain in Back to the Future.
Okay. Give me a number.
I'm going to go 1.
1. All right. This was a fake. Okay. I'm going to be kind of vague.
Flintstones.
I'm going to be kind of vague. This was a famous Canadian comics first movie appearance in which his rubber-faced abilities came to great help.
You're saying it's his first appearance?
In a movie.
No, it's not.
Really? It's not? His role in this movie brought him to prominence.
Okay, Ace Ventura?
No.
Okay, are we going?
You're right. Oh, I'm sorry. This is something that if you were a superhero, you might have as part of your costume.
A superhero you might have as part of your costume.
Yeah.
Mask.
That's right.
Okay. Well, Ace Ventura came first.
That movie was not well known.
There was also a movie.
That movie was not well known.
Called Introducing Janet, which was his very first movie.
But come on, who's heard of that film?
But they renamed that one Rubberface when he became popular.
Okay.
He also did a, I'm trying to remember, something Mountain High, but it was a Club Med infomercial with Alan Thicke that he did that was also a movie.
Well, folks, I stand corrected. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I played this game.
All right. Here we go.
I just got Comic Shop Guy.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. There's a deep cut here. All right.
All right. I'll take the deep cut.
Oh, will you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sounds fun.
This is now a popular, this is a popular comic that is all girl characters.
It's not Birds of Prey.
It's very popular. No, it's popular. It's like all ages. Very popular with the younger girls, especially. This will not help you in any way.
Is it Cheetah Girls?
They recently teamed up with they did a crossover with Batman.
Mm.
That will not help you at all.
No.
I don't see why you would ever get this.
So this is a superhero team.
Nope.
It's not a superhero team.
Nope.
It's just a group of.
Girls.
It's two girls?
Nope.
Or a group of girls?
Yep. Keep asking.
But they're DC characters?
Nope. But they did team up with Batman recently. They had a crossover. They're an independent comic.
So they're like the newspaper paper girls or whatever?
Nope.
Lumberjanes?
Yep.
Oh, okay. No, that wasn't so bad. It took me a few hours, but I got it.
Okay.
I've edited this down quite a bit, everyone. Okay. Let me find a card. Okay, number, please.
Four.
Okay. In the good old days...
Mutt and Jeff.
When kids would go to movies, he was a villain.
Molested. They were molested at the movies.
No, they were not molested at the movies.
Oh, really? You're denying that they were molested at the movies.
Yeah.
Okay, he was a villain?
Yeah.
In the old time, Ming the Merciless.
That's right. Good for you, man. Isn't Ian good at this? I'm so terrible. It's like a superstar.
Name the person who played both Buck Rogers and Flash Gordon.
Buster Crabbe?
Yep. Doesn't sound...
The dirtiest name in movies.
Oh, man, yeah, absolutely. You're not wrong, okay?
Okay. I'll do a two.
Oh, very good. I would say this is... One second.
Oh, no.
It will become a television series fairly soon.
Okay.
It is probably the fifth most popular book, comic book, that the author who created it made. Fifth most popular.
Mm.
I am connected with probably one of the most popular ones by marriage. That this person did.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. So this is.
So now I think you know the author
is okay. So which one? I mean, I have to go through his. So he's done the paper. He does the paper and girls. Whatever it's called, right?
That's correct. But that is not what this is.
He does Saga.
That would probably be the most popular. Yeah.
He did Y, of course.
Yeah. Now we're going through. You've got three.
He did that one about the animals in Iraq.
Right. That would be maybe the eighth most popular.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. He did the one about the attack on Canada, the war between Canada and America.
That's, let's go fourth most popular there, or maybe a little after. Stand on Guard is the name of that one.
Okay, yeah. Stand on Guard. Okay.
What did he kind of, one of the first things he did that was one of his... claims to fame. That is a mainstream book.
Mainstream. Did he create this character or did he just write this character?
He created this book. Yeah, he created all the characters in this book for Marvel.
Hmm. Oh, Runaways.
Yep.
That's his fourth most popular?
What would you say? I would say Saga's his first. Say Y. Either
third.
Y is the most popular or Saga, but Saga's very popular.
I put Runaways third.
Then Y. You put Runaways third?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. Fair enough.
In my house.
Okay.
Maybe first in my house.
Trying to think where Paper second. Girls is right now.
Okay.
And also, Ex Machina was very popular.
Oh, I forgot about that one.
Five. Number five is Alive.
Oh,
is it a tough one?
Yeah. It's
good.
Not really...
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. So, okay, here's this is something you would call this is what you would call
Daddy-o.
A tribute to something.
Homage.
But you would use it in a particular place. So you would use it on, say, a comic book. You would have a.
Oh, I see what you're saying. You would have you're doing a tribute comic homage.
So you'd have it on the
prestige.
The front of the book would have this tribute to the, and so you would call it a.
You have a tribute to. You're dedicated to.
Yeah, but it has a particular name because it's describing where it's located. So this tribute is on at the very, you know, very front of the book, and so it's like the kind of the first thing you see is this
splash page cover
is
cover coverage. Covering
cover
Overcover, undercover.
You already said the word. You already said the word.
Cover. So
just, yeah, and then you said another word earlier.
Homage.
Yeah, homage, yeah.
Cover homage.
Cover?
Cover homage.
Cover homage.
What is it?
Say, cover, yeah.
Cover homage.
Cover homage, yes.
Cover homage.
Yeah, yeah. I never heard of that before.
I've never heard of that before either.
So it's interesting.
Okay.
I could have said I do that sometimes myself, but that would have been really... Your guesses would have been too terrible to be heard. So
I need to do one more. Here we go. Let's go. You know what? I'm gonna run the gamut through all of them really fast.
Okay.
Okay. Wonder Woman's greatest enemy that is not Ares. Wonder Woman's greatest enemy
that is not Ares.
Yep.
Doctor
Never Prospers.
Never Prospers?
Yep.
Doctor Cheater?
Okay, sounds
Dr.
like
Cheaters?
It.
Doctor Cheaters? Doctor Cheat? Oh,
Who never prospers?
Cheetahs never prosper.
There you go. Sounds like cheetah. Sounds good.
Oh, cheetah, the cheetah.
Okay. You enjoy these because they're in color. They're in color. It's a very special thing because these are in color. Mm. Whereas normally you see them in black and white, but you're going to see them in color the rest of the time. Hey, you know what? I'd say like six times you'll see them in black and white.
Oh, okay. Newspaper strip?
Right. So what's the one that's in color?
Oh, the Sunday comics.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. All right. Bitten by a radioactive spider. Saw Spider-Man. Their parents shot. From Krypton.
Superhero origins?
Origins. That's correct. Okay.
Isn't Ian good at this?
All right. Originally drawn, I believe, by Bill Sienkiewicz. That will not help you in any
New
way.
Mutants.
He is...
Rom.
He is a superhero that is
Machine
schizophrenic.
Man. Oh.
He hears voices. He is mentally ill.
Oh, Warlock.
He dresses all in white. Oh. He is a Marvel
Legion.
Character. He's a Marvel
Legion,
character.
No.
What's Batman's what's Batman's code name? They call him
the Cape Crusader.
Yeah,
the...
they do. But if he's Frank Miller written, he's called the
Dark Knight.
Yeah, but this guy similar name, but he's all in white.
Okay,
and
he's
called
the White Knight.
He's the what?
White Knight.
Well, I would say that, but you know, listen. Sometimes this thing that he's named after is full. Sometimes it's not. It's the.
It's full. Sometimes it's not the white.
At night. Nighttime? What do you see at nighttime?
Wait a second. Is he Moon Knight?
Yes. And what does Obelix carry?
What does Obelix carry?
Yep.
A menhir.
Yep.
Yay. I did them all, folks, and without any help. From you.
Yay.
Thanks a lot. Thank you. Thanks very much.
Oh, exciting.
Thank
you. It's exhausting. So it's my wrap up this time.
You can wrap up the show. I think
we've
had fun. Thank you, Kanan, for these
always,
cards.
Always appreciate
it. We always love to use them. They're so much
fun. Here's what's up. We got our 300th episode coming up. Next time we'll let you know where that's happening and how you could come and see us. It will be in the Vancouver area, and we're going to have some fun. We would love to hear your stories still. Dave will provide a mixtape based on your story. If you want to tell us them, how do you give us your stories? Well, you got one of two things. One, you call us on our Skype line, which is you go to Skype and it's Sneaky Dragon. Look for our little dragon head.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Leave us a story that's about 2 minutes long. Boom, put you on the show. Do that. Or send us an MP3 to sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. That's sneakyd@sneakydragon.com. You can also just write us a note that way. Love to hear from you. If you want to leave a message for us besides doing it that way, oh my gosh, no, it's too late to do the siren thing. We're past that. Go to sneakydragon.com. That is our webpage.
It's never
we would
too
love
late
to hear
for
from
the
you
siren
there.
Thing.
We will usually respond. We're also on Facebook. We're also on Twitter, sneaky_dragon. We are on Tumblr, sneakydragon.tumblr. And are we on Instagram? No, but David is. So follow him there and see him with pictures of horses. Maybe he'll be on one. Maybe he'll be next to one. You know, we'll
maybe
all see.
Actually post a picture.
Yeah. And if you want to have dinner with us, we can work that out. Send us a message to any of those things and we'll let you know. So I am in San Diego. I will be back next week.
Welcome back.
I am probably going to be looking after a cat for a friend. So we'll see how scratched up I'll be.
How long are you looking after the cat?
Until October.
Wow. He's on a long tour.
It's actually this person knows, but they needed someone to look after this cat. And, and there you go. And it's actually been nice seeing pictures of the cat, and we're looking forward to that. So the only thing is now we've got to do a crazy cleanup of the house. Mm. Cat
have to get rid of all the cat traps that you've been putting up the last little while.
Yeah, so many of them. Okay, well, the sirens sound pretty bad. We should probably wrap this up because it sounds like there's trouble in the neighborhood. It's been a pleasure talking with you, David. Yeah, we got to get out of here. I've been Ian.
I've been David.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Goodbye, everyone.
Hey, my bride's here.
Oh.
It was an ambulance, in case you wanted to know.